The date is Thursday, July 14, 2017. The time is 11:02 a.m. This is a hearing of the District of Columbia Rental Housing Commission. The location is the hearing room in Suite 1140 North, 441 4th Street, Northwest Washington, D.C. We're here pursuant to D.C. Law 6-10, the Rental Housing Act of 1985 as amended. I'm Chairperson Peter Segedy-Mazak, and I'll serve to chair today's hearing. With me today on my right is Commissioner Diana Harris-Epps, and on my left, Commissioner Michael Spencer. We have one argument today noticed for hearing at 11 a.m. in regards to the housing accommodations located at 4234, excuse me, that's not right. M Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C. The tenant petition number is TP30653. The case is styled Michael Novak, tenant appellant, versus Natalia Sadova, housing provider appellee. Commission notes that there are parties seated before it and would ask that you identify yourself for the record.
Yes, Your Honor. Jesse Winograd on behalf of petitioner and appellant Patrick Novak.
Okay. Thank you, sir. The chair notes that there's no counsel or participants from the appellee. I'd briefly like to explain our procedures. Our rules are similar to those of the D.C. Court of Appeals. Each party will have 20 minutes, beginning with the tenant appellant. Tenant appellant may reserve, well, it doesn't really matter, up to 5 minutes of your 20 minutes for rebuttal. The case of the housing provider appellee must be argued fully within the 20 minutes, and there's no rebuttal time. In our discretion, we will add time in the event that we ask you questions. Our hearing is recorded on audio CD. Our decision will be issued in writing and sent to the parties within 30 to 45 days. In this proceeding, we do not request nor will we accept pre-hearing submissions from either party. Please turn off cell phones and other electronic equipment. Seeing as there's no preliminary matters I'm aware of, Mr. Weingrad, why don't and no appellee, please start.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'll be very brief since there's no other side. I think I can cover the issues that Mr. Novak complained about in the underlying OAH hearing relatively quickly. Some of them tie in together, the first being that when the administrative law judge rejected Mr. Novak's, and just to be for clarification's sake, I was not counsel in any of the underlying hearing. I did not become involved until this case went up to the Court of Appeals based on the timeliness issue. I briefed that issue, and then this came back before the commission, and Mr. Novak asked me to help him here as well. So when I referred to Mr. Novak as filing the pleadings on the underlying OAH case, that's why I'm doing that. When Mr. Novak filed the amended complaint alleging retaliation, the ALJ made two errors. The first being denying that complaint in summarily and is not allowing Mr. Novak to amend.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Please.
Was the retaliation, did it occur before or after Mr. Novak was a tenant?
It occurred after he was a tenant.
Does he have standing to bring a retaliation claim after the alleged retaliation occurs, and he has no tenancy that he can refer to as being the source of the retaliation?
He doesn't have a tenancy that he, the tenancy that he has that is the source of the retaliation was the subject of the Security Deposit Act proceedings. So he has, she was retaliating against him in that proceeding. So the tenancy, while it had ended, the legal rights that flowed from the tenancy continued to be present.
So the retaliation then is solely limited to the return of the security deposit?
To the return of the security deposit and the proceedings before the OAH.
Related to the return of the security deposit.
Yes, Your Honor, but it's a slightly nuanced view in that what he's also complaining about is Ms. Sadova's behavior during the underlying OAH
proceeding. Let me just ask you this. As I understand it, let me just read from the retaliation provisions. It says, retaliatory action may include any action or proceeding not otherwise permitted by law, which seeks to recover possession of a rental unit. Not otherwise permitted by law. Such as unlawfully increasing rent, decreasing services, increasing the obligation of a tenant, constituting undue or unavoidable inconvenience. What is the illegal act that Madam Sadova may have engaged in with respect to your client?
I believe that Mr. Novak complained about the following. One, that she the harassing emails, and two, the behavior during the OAH, including during the OAH hearing, presenting what he believed to be false testimony.
The record seems to indicate that the nature of his complaint goes to the impact of what Ms. Sadova may have had on his then putative spouse, fiance, who then broke the engagement because of the alleged harassment and lying of Ms. Sadova about your client, having really nothing to do, as the record would seem to indicate to me, with anything other than that.
Other than the fact that it stemmed from his attempt to recover the security deposit through the administrative law process.
Okay.
So
we're getting more and more attenuated here. You notice that, you know? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. Okay,
I'm sorry.
No. I really do appreciate what you're saying, but you can understand the issues I have because in parsing the record, we're confined to the written record before us. And
if I may, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that actually goes to the next point on this, in that the ALJ's error was to take no facts on that.
Okay.
On that complaint. So, I'm limited as well to argue in front of you. And the point being that had those facts been fleshed out in front of the ALJ during the OAH process, the commission and I would be having a different conversation. I mean, this is what he complained about in the appeal, but he was never allowed to develop the record, and that in and of itself is reversible error in this case. I mean, when an ALJ does not take any facts and puts no facts on the record, that in and of itself is reversible error, and that's causing the problem that we have. I mean, if Your Honor's complaining about the lack of a written record, that's the problem.
The question I have, though, is if you're gonna claim retaliation under the Rental Housing Act, that presumes a landlord-tenant relationship. The return of the security deposit occurs really after that relationship, and in this case, after that relationship had terminated. And in fact, the alleged violations of the alleged retaliation occurred post-tenancy. And it seems to me that it's not that he's without a remedy. He certainly could have brought this in civil court. He could have brought it in superior court and sued for damages.
Did he do that?
He did not.
And the other thing is that for retaliation, retaliation is a finable offense under the Act. There's no monetary, rent adjustment, anything. It's a finable offense. And that's why, again, if fines are in the nature of penalties, am I absent a landlord-tenant relationship, and given that the nature of the claim is about marital, premarital relations, which is hardly a legal category, cognizable legal category of action, you can understand my concern here of stretching something that is this return of security deposit act to really merit a retaliation claim in the way that it was raised here. I don't know, Mr. Weingart, if I'm being clear to you, but I hope I am.
No, you're being quite clear, and I understand the confusion. And the answer I would have for that is the remedy available from his retaliation claim is not as important in this case, I believe, to the proceedings below as the fact that the ALJ made credibility determinations on the record, found Mr. Novak to be flippant, found him to be not credible in certain respects, and in the totality of circumstances, had the ALJ been able to consider what I believe is still tied to the landlord-tenant relationship, the retaliation claim. I mean, I agree that the tenancy itself was over, but the legal rights flowed from the tenancy, mm-hmm. and the legal proceeding flowed from the tenancy. Mm-hmm. And so when he makes a retaliation claim because he is exercising rights under the tenancy, even though it's flowed from the tenancy, I would respectfully argue that it is not as attenuated as Your Honor would make it.
Unless the nature of the claim is not otherwise prohibited by law. I mean, the nature of the claim here is that what Ms. Sadova may have said to his fiance caused her to terminate getting married, and resulting in his departure from a household where his fiance's father owned the house in Japan, and he ending up, quote, an international homeless person. You got to understand this. I'm not trying to be funny about this, but this is the record I have here.
I'm not disagreeing with the record. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that part of the responsibility, both of ourselves sitting here or in any judicial body, is the responsibility of understanding the nature of the record and the responsibility of being the sole proprietor over one's record? So notwithstanding your earlier statements with regard to reversible error and the ALJ's determination not to allow certain amounts of information presented, wouldn't you agree that it is the sole responsibility of the trier fact to decide what fact is actually relevant as opposed to cluttering up the record just to essentially appease individuals who may be presenting claims that clearly are so attenuated that they do not fall within the realm of our jurisdictional limits?
I would not agree that it's their sole determination, because the ALJ does not have unfettered discretion. And if the claim, the retaliation claim, could be connected, then the ALJ did not have to the tenancy. That relevance determination would be reviewed for an abuse of discretion in court. But in this case, That's not correct in that. I mean, United Management versus DC Rental Housing Commission 101 A3rd 426. You actually have de novo review over those legal decisions, because after these hearings were given to OAH rather than than a body that was specifically well versed in landlord-tenant law, and OAH does hearings from every piece of administrative law around the district, the Rental Housing Commission's review is now plenary. And they're not, and so the ALJ is not entitled to complete discretion. They can make relevance determinations, but in this case, they made an incorrect relevance determination. And
you're arguing that they did.
Yes, I am arguing that
and
they
so
did.
And so it's our job to decide whether they did or they did not.
I agree.
But it's clearly the fact finder's initial determination to ferret through all of the information and then try to preserve the record rather than have it muddied down with things that could otherwise are not appropriate. So, I mean, and so the question then becomes either the ALJ decided correctly or they didn't decide correctly. And that's their job. They may have decided incorrectly, so then we would send it back for them to take the information. But at the beginning, it is that person's determination to decide yes or no.
I agree that that is correct. It is the ALJ's job to decide yes or no, but if you read the ALJ's order denying the amended complaint, that is not the reason that the ALJ denied this particular amended complaint. The ALJ denied it because he said not because it was attenuated, but only because on the bare legal hook that Mr. Novak could not complain of retaliation after he had filed a petition. But that's not accurate. And so because we don't have the record, we cannot say that the ALJ made a relevance determination that is somehow agreeing with the point that you're arguing, which is that it's so attenuated that I don't want to muddy up the record. Had that been the finding,
we could still, however, independent of sending it back based on the pleadings, decide that in fact it is too attenuated, and notwithstanding the decision that maybe they made the wrong decision, why we could independently decide, notwithstanding that, it was still the correct decision because it is in fact too attenuated and there is no need to send it back. That
yes.
is within our right, isn't that? Not
I believe it is within your right, but I believe that it should at least be heard in the first instance to develop the record that you're looking for.
I got a question for you. It's unclear to me from the record. Was there a tendency immediately after he departed in December 2014? The email he cites to a Plaintiff's Exhibit 104, which is an email from him to, or Sadova to him, it's a response in any case. Mm-hmm. And he alleges that establishes that she leased the property, that there was an intervening tenancy after he left and before the list of damages, an Airbnb 3-month tenancy, and I read that PX, and it doesn't say that at all. And I'm just wondering, as a matter of fact, was there an intervening Airbnb tenancy between January 2015 and May 2015?
It is my understanding that there was. But it is my understanding from the record that I have and from the limited investigation that I was able to conduct, yes, that there was. But I have not been able to speak to...
Okay. So to the best of your knowledge, then, there was. And that was part of the record below?
I have looked at the record below, and I have read the final order. And it is Mr. Novak's contention, and it is my belief as well, having read the record below, that the ALJ did not make adequate findings of fact on that position. She simply took Ms. Novak's word for it Ms. Sadova's word for it that Mr. Novak had damaged the property, but he had attempted to put into evidence that he had not damaged the property, and that significant property damage, had occurred between the time he left in December of 2014 and the time that she complained to him.
But the real estate agent who showed the property immediately after he left called her up and said, there's an immense stink of urine, cat urine here, that occurred by any means before any if there were an Airbnb rental, and I'm not certain that email establishes that, and I'm not certain, and if it does, if it is part of the record below, I would agree that would require a remand, because I have no idea if the list of the laundry list of things that were wrong with the place were caused by him or by the Airbnb. I mean, it's a question of fact of what it was. And I don't, aside from Ms. Sadova's January 17th memo to him, the one that PX104, where she says, I went through the apartment and, you know, and then describes kind of like what she saw. You know, that can be offset by later evidence of an Airbnb tenancy, you know, but I didn't read the 17th email. I read that as her saying, look, I've explored that. I can get $4,500 from the Airbnb. I've looked at 3-month terms, but the landlord won't let me do it because he wants a year term. So you see, I view that as kind of she investigated it. She could have gotten more money for it, but she never did it because the landlord wouldn't allow it because it wasn't for a year. It was for 3 months. That's how I read that PX104.
It is Mr. Novak's contention that there were, in fact, Airbnb individuals, people who used Airbnb in between the time, and that happened. And it is my understanding that he did say that to that he...
Okay.
That is part of the record below.
Okay.
But was not present in the ALJ's findings.
What exactly does he want? What remedy is he seeking?
Mr. Novak would like the return of his security deposit, interest, and additional and the damages to be trebled for what he believes to be inappropriate conduct during the pendency of the case.
Okay.
Which is what he filed for initially.
Right.
So essentially, not really bad faith, but you chose your words clearly, inappropriate conduct.
No, he would argue bad faith. I'm not willing to make that representation on my own without additional investigation.
So Ms. Sadova's alleged haranguing phone calls would be bad faith. Is that kind of where he's going with that? What else would be the bad faith?
The postponement of the OHA hearing to take a skiing vacation, specifically to knowing that he had difficulty attending the hearing given that he was in Japan, presenting false evidence would be what he would consider bad faith. I will not make a representation that evidence was false at this time, but that is the argument.
Understood. Well, this raises interesting questions. Do you have anything else you want to say? I think we've kind of, at least, I don't know if my colleagues, if you have more questions.
No, I'll wait.
I think we just covered what I was going to bring up about the factual nature, the missing factual piece about the renters. I was going to mention that, so I think we've covered it. The other piece that I was going to mention is that I think that Mr. Novak has a procedural claim in the underlying hearing, and that his claim was denied based on his amended claim was denied based on a procedural matter. Because the ALJ said it was too late. The ALJ did allow Ms. Sadova to introduce evidence after the deadline with no penalty and present exhibits for Mr. Novak to review, knowing that he was in Japan, which gave and would not be able to review them prior to what was a telephonic hearing in time, and with no penalty. And I think that is a procedural claim that he was denied the process of the administrative law process by not being able to properly prepare for the hearing with no penalty. And while the ALJ at the same time denied him to amend his complaint based in part on the fact that it happened too close to the hearing. That was the one other claim that I needed to raise that we have not covered.
All right.
So in preparation for this hearing today, presumably if the housing provider had been represented, we would have, as a matter of course, inquired of the parties in advance of receiving any argument whether you would be interested in any type of mediation or...
I didn't raise that because I don't think that's not an issue in this case.
I understand. And so with regard to that, were you aware that when you come to this particular judicial body...
Can I say, we haven't made that aware, and that's something that we will address. Would it have been helpful to know that you might have been able to settle this matter, that we would have offered settlement services before?
It's always helpful to me that there are settlements.
Do you know that it existed in D.C. Court of Appeals?
I did not, actually, and I practice in the D.C. Court of Appeals, although not in the rental housing often. But I do, in all candor, most of my time in the D.C. Court of Appeals is spent in criminal matters where they don't offer such settlement services. But,
but we do offer them here, so in the future.
That's very good to know. I apologize for that.
Well, I don't have any. I have some severe issues with this case, and not the least of which are the ones that I mentioned. I find the question of standing in this case, and the question of retaliation after the fact, to be very problematic to me. And I also find the claimed retaliation being essentially an entirely personal matter, emotional personal matter between fiancés, and then somehow interposing harassment and into decisions that are made in Japan. I keep using the word attenuated because of that. However, the issue that really stuck with me in my review was the Airbnb question. Because that, if nothing else, would be a mitigating factor to what anything he may have caused, but the court didn't address it at all, nor did the court, and I would also suggest that the citation, I think he makes a citation to a case that requires an explanation if there is, I forget the name of the case, but an explanation for not coming to a conclusion of retaliation. If you're going to vacate retaliation, if you're going to do it, you still have to make some factual finding as to the nature of the retaliation. And so I would say that those were salient points to me.
That was Miller versus Rental Housing Commission.
Yeah, there you go. And those I think to me were very salient points. But aside from kind of a factual scenario that somehow reads like the Three Stooges at times, it does raise some questions. And you did a very good job in presenting it, I think.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
No questions, but I agree. Great job.
Thank you, sir. Do you have any questions more?
Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It's now 11:31, and this hearing is adjourned.